Dr. Richard Land is our guest for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we're going to discuss some recent remarks of former President Barack Obama, where he was basically lambasting Hispanic evangelicals for voting in a conservative way. Dr. Land, it's great to have you back on the program, as always. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about former President Obama's recent remarks about evangelicals and the recent election.
Well, in his usual state of abject arrogance, he said, well, Hispanics, you know, they voted more for Trump than they have since 1960 for a Republican. And he said the reason was that that many Hispanics are evangelicals. And, of course, that's true. The longer Hispanics are in America, the more likely they are to become evangelicals. And praise God for that. But he said they prefer Trump's position agrees with their evangelical position on homosexuals and on abortion. And so it's okay. They overlook the fact that he locks people in cages, not mentioning the fact that the cages were built in the Obama administration and first used in the Obama administration. It sounded a whole lot like his idea. Well, you know, these people cling to their guns and their Bibles because they're losers, you know, which he said in past elections. It shows that he has utter contempt for people of religious faith. And it really, if I were a Hispanic, I'd be extremely offended. You know, I've got news for President Obama. Hispanics don't live on Obama's barrio. They can decide for themselves how they're going to vote. Mm. And more of them voted for Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump carried Hispanic counties in Texas on the border, counties that are 80% Hispanic that have never voted Republican. They voted for Trump because his immigration policies, they support. The people who've come here legally and who've been here for generations, they do not support illegal immigration.
Hmm. Let's deal with some of these issues one at a time. First of all, the cages. Not only is it, important to underscore what you said about Obama and the cages, but one thing I read a couple of years ago when this was really heating up and Trump was getting lambasted for, you know, separating children from the parents and so forth. But I remember the statistic, 83% of the children apprehended at the border, this is a 2018 statistic, 83% of them were not with an adult that was a parent. So in other words,
that's right.
These were farmed out somehow, in some cases even with drug dealers, with coyotes, which is not the animal, but the human traffickers, which are more vicious than the real coyotes. But comment about this, because this is really an important point and needs to be understood.
It's one of the things that's totally missed in this debate is open borders and the idea that we're just going to let anybody come. It is inhumane to the people who are trying to come because it encourages these long journeys. It encourages people to use children as shields. President Trump has pretty much stopped this with the deal he made with Mexico, that they stay on the Mexican side of the border while they're being processed. And they await whether or not they're going to get asylum in the United States. And mark my words, President-elect Biden, if and when
exactly.
He becomes president, he's going to open the borders. He's going to offer free medical care to people who come, and we're going to have a huge crisis at the border because we're going to have literally hundreds of thousands of people coming across the border, flooding into the United States, being let loose, and we're going to see a huge, huge tidal wave of immigration.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a form of child abuse, to use a child for the purpose of, you know, trying to cross the border illegally.
No question. And have you noticed that the policies of the liberals who say they care about the poor and they care about the people who are disadvantaged harm the poor and the disadvantaged more than anybody else?
Yeah.
Who do you think is being hurt by these shutdowns? It's people who work for an hourly wage.
Yeah.
It's people who work in the fast food industry. Yeah. It's people who are the least able to bear this kind of hit. It's amazing to me that closing down the schools, who gets hurt the most? Poor kids. Poor kids get hurt the most by this. They don't get the warm meal they were getting at school. They don't have support. They don't have child abuse is not being reported. Child neglect is not being reported because they're not in school. People who are affluent, their kids are going to go to school. You know, they're going to put them in private schools. They're going to have tutors come in and teach them. It harms the poor and disadvantaged more than anyone else, like most liberal policies.
That's so true. You know, it's so interesting that the left is always touting, well, diversity, diversity, diversity. We need America. We need this cabinet to look diverse like the rest of America and so forth. But there's a sense in which someone like Donald Trump has aimed towards more true diversity. I mean, seriously, than the liberals do.
Well, they are bound and determined to judge people by their immutable birth characteristics. In other words, their race or their sex, their gender. This is the worst forms of sexism and the worst form of racism, to judge somebody solely on the color of their skin or their gender.
Boy, that's so true. All right, talk about the Hispanics in terms of family values. There was a statement I saw from Ronald Reagan, and this is 40 years ago, where he said most Hispanics, when you look at their actual values, they're Republicans. They just don't know it yet.
Well, look, I grew up in Texas, and my high school was 25% Hispanic. Hispanics are hardwired to be Republicans unless somebody messes with them. They're pro-family. They're more religious than the average population. They're hardworking. They left their country of origin and came here because they wanted a better life for themselves and their families. And they certainly do not want socialism. They experienced socialism and bad government where they came from.
You know, it's interesting about socialism. I thought one of the most compelling of all the little snippets presented, little speeches during the Republican National Convention this year, because of COVID-19, you know, they couldn't do it in person, you know, with the rallies and so forth, the convention. But this man spoke from the heart about Cuba, and he said, you know, we fled these kinds of things. And then I hear the same kinds of promises being made by the other side of the aisle here, and I'm concerned because this is what we, you know, we uprooted everything, and we're able to at least flee and be alive here in America, and we don't want this in America.
Right, and the same thing. The Venezuelans are saying the same thing when they come here. I want your listeners to just ponder this statement. If we have open immigration, open borders, the Gallup polls show us that 170 million Latin Americans would like to come to the United States. I don't blame them. If I lived in Latin America, I would too. But if we have unrestricted immigration, at some point we'll have so many people come here from Latin America that America will begin to resemble the place they came from rather than the place they wanted to go to.
You know what's so crazy, though? You see this phenomenon where people can't leave New York fast enough. They can't leave California fast enough, honestly, because of bad politics. That's what it boils down to, bad politics.
Yep.
Then they'll come to a place like Texas or North Carolina, and then they'll start voting for the same kind of, you know, bad policies from which they fled.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why the governor of Texas has actually made public statements saying to all the Californians that are like refugees drifting across the border. Look, we're happy to have you come to Texas, but don't bring your politics with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's so true. What do you think is going to happen in the long run? I mean, for example, we're being told that Georgia is supposedly turning, into a Democrat state. I find that hard to believe. Or blue, that doesn't make sense.
Well, some of that's immigration, and some of that is the shifting demographics of the two parties. What Mr. Trump has done is fundamentally reorient the political landscape of the United States in a way no one has since Franklin Roosevelt. And so he's made the Republican Party the party of working people, and the Democratic Party has become the party of the poor and the real poor, the people who are in the system, i.e. in the welfare system, yeah. And the wealthy, the globalists, the wealthy, the professional classes. So you have the suburbs around some of the cities like Atlanta voting more Democrat because they have more people in them that are elitists, and you have places voting Republican in the Midwest and in on the Texas border that have never voted Republican. So you're seeing a fundamental reorientation of the way in which the country votes. Some of that's migration, but some of that is the shifting of the two parties.
Well, you and I are discussing this right now on December 2nd in the morning. I'm time-stamping this because President Trump has not conceded yet because of all the allegations of fraud. And Giuliani and Jenna Ellis, they seem to be, coming up with all kinds of stuff. And then Sidney Powell on her own and Lynn Wood are also coming up with all this kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, this is not a fair election, it doesn't seem.
No, and it was started long before COVID. When Nancy Pelosi got the speakership back in 2018, the very first bill that she introduced was H.R. 1, which was a bill for mail-in voting, massive mail-in voting, which is just made for fraud and for corruption. And it didn't pass. But then when the COVID came, they put it back in the COVID relief bill. And the Republicans voted for it in order to get relief to people who were in terrible, terrible shape and needed immediate relief. They were in terrible shape through no fault of their own,
right,
because of COVID. And it is, as Bill Barr said, massive mail-in voting, sending out ballots to anybody who's lived in the state without being asked to do so. It's playing Russian roulette with our political system, and yeah. That's exactly right. And it led to unmatched massive fraud. There was massive fraud in this election, and there's so much evidence of this. Not to mention the fact that there are 18 bellwether counties across the United States that have voted for every president that won since 1960. Mr. Trump carried 17 of those 18 districts, and he lost the election. And he carried them by at least 4 or 5%.
Yeah.
He's the first incumbent president in history to lose while getting more votes than he got the first time. He's the first incumbent president in history to lose and have his party gain seats in the House. Now, I believe that pick up state legislatures. I believe that there was massive fraud at the presidential level, and that Donald Trump won the election and it was stolen from him.
That doesn't sit well, though, because it makes you feel like, wow, everything. Well, where is God in all this? And I guess the bottom line is, God allows evil sometimes to reign for a season, but only for a season. We have half a minute
left.
Well,
I've been praying for a year. God, please, give us the president we need, not the president we deserve. Now, if God has chosen to judge us, I can't argue with him.
Yeah.
We've been practicing child sacrifice for nearly half a century.
Yeah.
Through abortion. We're living like pagan Rome in terms of our morals. We have 41% of our babies being born out of wedlock. Half of our babies losing their father in the home by the time they're six. You have state legislatures cheering when they pass bills that allow newborn babies to die. So if God has chosen to has lost his patience with the United States and has chosen to judge us, I can't argue with that.
Wow, and on that sober,
argue with it.
Yeah, on that sober note, we'll have to end and reread the Book of Lamentations right after Jeremiah. Hey, thank you so much. God bless you, Dr. Land. All the best.
Well, God bless you, brother.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye.